So we've been in sort of the heart of the course in the last couple of weeks, and we're talking about what we're just calling the three sort of stages of the prophetic. And the first part is, what did God say? So one way to say that is, what is the revelation? Or what's the material? What's the data? What's the download? Learning to just capture what God is showing you or speaking to you or what you're hearing from God without necessarily embellishing. Just get that information down. And then praying into that and asking God, okay, now that I know what you've said, Lord, what does this mean? So that's a different step. Revelation, meaning God, or sorry, interpretation is the second step, meaning God, now what is that, what was your purpose in showing me that, and what's the meaning of that? And tonight we're going to look at the third part of the process, which is what needs to be done about this? Now that you've given me something and I've, you know, recorded and understand and I've prayed through it, I think I even have a sense, Lord, of what you're meaning by it. Now what do I do with that? So we're going to look at application tonight, the third part in that process. And Mike Bickle, in a book that's been very helpful to me anyway, called Growing in the Prophetic, he says, application is the practical action that we are to take as we respond in faith to the revelation and its interpretation. It's a good definition of what we're trying to do tonight. Application is the practical action we're to take as we respond in faith to the revelation and its interpretation. So it answers the question, what do I need to do about this? I have this thing now that, you know, is churning in me that I sense is from God. What am I supposed to do with that? So we want to take a look at some of those things. And last week we talked just briefly about Joseph. We want to think about Joseph a little more deeply tonight. Joseph had an amazing God-given ministry, of course. Very, very powerful, interpreter of dreams, and God speaking to him about nations and epochs and kingdoms and all kinds of things toward the end of his life. But it didn't start that great with Joseph. So let's take a look at some of Joseph's, or his earliest maybe sort of prophetic experience. And we see that in Genesis 37:5. I know you know the story here. Genesis 37:5, this is him as a young man. He was the youngest of his brothers. Later there was another brother born, but he was the baby for a while in the family. Genesis 37:5. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. Even more. You know, all those of you that are the babies might get this, but he had like 10 older brothers, so it was a pretty raucous house probably. They hated him even more. He said to them, hear this dream that I've dreamed. So he's had a revelation, and he has got a sense of what it means. And so right now he's moving to application. I need to tell somebody. So here's how it goes. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. These are all his older brothers. His brothers said to him, are you indeed going to reign over us? Are you indeed going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams than for his words. So that didn't go over too well, his first sort of experience in, you know, sharing that. It goes on in verse 9, and then he dreamed another dream, and he told his brothers, he wasn't satisfied with making them that mad. There's more. Behold, I've dreamed another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. But when he told it to his father and his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you've dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves down to the ground before you? So now it's not just his brothers, but it's his mom and dad, which, of course, in an ancient culture, that's pretty hectic to think your mom and dad are going to bow down to you. This is not the way it works. But verse 11, his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. That's a great, you know, the wisdom of age and experience in the Lord. But it didn't start out too well with Joseph's first experience. And this is an ancient time. This might be 3,000 years ago. It's a different culture, different continent, different language. You know, there's just such a huge gap between where I live and where this takes place. But from my perspective, it looks like he might have been better just to tuck that away and not say that at that time. It looks like he might have made a mistake in this third part of the process. Looks like he certainly heard from the Lord and probably had a good interpretation, but it might have been wiser for him just to keep that to himself for a bit. He could have gotten the application wrong. he shared what God was showing him, maybe at the wrong time to the wrong people. But the cool thing is, it turned out exactly that way. Look at a little farther back in Genesis 42. This is quite a few years later. And of course, we know he was sold into slavery, and things just seemed to go from bad to worse for this guy for a while. But in Genesis 42, this is when he's risen now to the number two man in Egypt. God's given him this amazing interpretation, and he's basically saved the nation and many nations around the area because of the wisdom he had to interpret that and to make application to that dream. But in Genesis 42:6, now Joseph was the governor over the land. He was the one who sold to all the people the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed themselves down before him with their faces to the ground. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he treated them like strangers and spoke roughly to them. "Where do you come from?" he said. "From the land of Canaan to buy food." And Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Look at verse 9. And Joseph remembered the dreams that he had dreamed of them, and he said to them, "You're spies, you've come to see the nakedness of the land." And it goes on the story from there. So decades later, you know, this dream that Joseph had gotten right, now here it is being acted out. And even later in the story, his dad comes and, you know, honors him, bows down because of the power and the position that he had in that situation. So he got it right, but was it the right thing to tell that group of people at that moment? That's the part I'm trying to think through tonight in terms of, you know, how can we apply the things that God gives us? And that's what we're trying to do tonight. Any thoughts or comments on this first experience that Joseph had in this in his sort of prophetic journey? Anybody?
It's interesting that he gained the wisdom.
Yeah. There was some. There was a lot of life that happened between there, right? And he doesn't just blow his cover right away. He's almost like he's toying with him, but there's a purpose in that too, right? Yeah, good.
And his brothers were pretty close to the interpretation of the dream.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm just looking for it. I think it's 50-20, but... yeah. So the great thing about when we goof up in the prophetic is that God has grace for us. He's able to protect us as we're growing and as we're getting better at the prophetic and getting better at all three of these stages. And at the end of Joseph's life, after the big reveal, as we would say, you know, he says to his brothers, "As for you, you meant it for evil against me." You know, they're throwing him into the pit and wanted to kill him, and ending up, and his life, you know, was seriously messed up because of what those guys did. He said, "But God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." So the wonderful thing I want to talk, just to create an environment tonight to say we're all learning in the prophetic, we're all growing in all three of these stages, but God has the grace to protect us even when we get it wrong. He can turn that into good, and that's what's so wonderful about who God is. So what can we do to maybe avoid this kind of mistake? I was thinking about this during the week and the last couple of weeks, and I think the six reporters questions, they come in handy tonight. Why, who, what, how, where, when? You know, a good reporter is thinking that in an interview when they come across a situation, they have to do a story. Those six questions are great things to be asking in any kind of situation we're trying to get to it. So let's think through those a little bit in terms of this last step, this what do I need to do about this, the application portion of the prophetic process. Let's talk about why. Why is a great one to start with, because why is a motivation question. Why am I doing this? Why am I wanting to reveal this? And we're going to spend quite a bit of time next week on that. But just tonight to be thinking about, I think a great motivation in anything in the prophetic that we feel like we need to reveal in any kind of context is this. This is for the glory of God. I sense that God is doing something in this, and I want to be a faithful deliverer of what God wants to do so that God will get the glory and I won't get the glory. And we'll talk quite detail about that this week. But that should be our motivation. Why, another great question to ask when we're in this third stage of the process is there an edge of personal anger or retribution in what I want to say? It's really good for us just to think through when we're feeling like we want to bring something out that we feel is prophetic, just stop for a second and just say, "Lord, is there anything that I'm angry about that's tainting what I want to do here? Or is there any retribution for that person or that group that would make me feel good by bringing this prophetic word to them?" Those are just great little checks, and we're going to spend the whole week next week on it. But just why? What is my motivation for what I'm doing, and to keep the focus on the fact that this is all about God. It's not about me, how I feel, how I look, or don't look. It's about what God wants. Comments or questions about why? How many of you, yeah, comments or questions about why? The first question. Why am I doing this? Good little place just to check before you open your mouth. Okay, let's go on to the second question. This is where it gets a little more complicated. Who? So the who question is, who is the target, or what is the destination for this? What's the audience that I'm supposed to deliver this to? And the first question that's a great way to start in the prophetic is, Lord, is this for me? I think I see many times people that are growing and just maybe starting in the prophetic, and they receive something from the Lord and they want to tell everybody right away. And I think I watch more mature people in the prophetic that have walked in the prophetic for years or decades, and I think they say much less than they get. And I hear them saying regularly, hey, I got this, but you know, I think this is something that God is showing me because I need to work through that myself. So be aware that God could show you some things that have the purpose of building something in you, and he may not intend for it to go any farther than that. He's a gracious God. He not only wants to build up and encourage and correct and, you know, train all those in our sphere of influence, but he wants to start with us. So a great question just to ask when you get a prophetic revelation is, Lord, is there a piece of this for me? And it could be that the Lord would just reveal to you, yeah, that's actually all for you. I want to work this through with you, and you don't need to say anything to anybody about that. So it can start with us. So we can go with that. It might be something that the Lord is just asking you to pray into. I also see this in people who are mature in the prophetic. God shows them things that he wants them to start to participate and pray into in the spiritual realm. It might not require saying anything to anyone, but it's a concern that God has in his heart that he's sharing a burden with that person to intercede and to be part of what's taking place in the spiritual realm in that for that subject or that person or that potential issue or that warning or that group or whatever the situation is. So a great way to be thinking about the prophetic too is to say, Lord, thank you for revealing this to me. Is there anything that I need to participate in the spiritual realm that for the reason that you're alerting me to this is so that maybe I can pray and do some battle or some have a role in that. It could be that it's for an individual person. So, you know, you're getting some information and you have this sense like, okay, I think I need to go tell this to that person. Maybe you saw them in the dream or you saw them in the vision or the Lord has impressed upon you them. And that's very valid. God definitely does that lots and lots. Be aware that also, though, just because a person's present in a message doesn't mean it's for them. So God uses people in visions, in dreams, in communication to you. There'll be a face that you see, that you recognize, but that might not be the main player in what's going on. That person could stand for someone. So, you know, if you see Mike, maybe that means he's standing for the church. It's not necessarily about Mike or someone that you know is standing or, you know, someone who's a great father. It's not that the message is for that person, but they're representing something that the Lord is using in your mind. So be aware that just because someone, you can identify someone in the communication, doesn't necessarily mean that's who it's for. I hope I'm making sense in that. So it could be for an individual. It could be for a group, like a leadership group. It could be for the eldership, for instance, of a church. So there are many, many times when as an eldership of our church, we'll get a prophetic word that someone will submit to the eldership of the church. And their sense is that the target or the who for that prophetic word is Oceanside Church. And they feel like, I need to bring this to the eldership because they're the ones who would be able to administer that. And we'll talk about how that fits in a minute too. So it could be a group. I think anytime you're trying to think through the who of a message God gives you, it's good to think about who holds the umbrella of God-given authority over that person or group, and to be sensitive and respectful of that. Pray into that. Lord, how does this person or this group fit into your administration, in terms of the spiritual realm, and to be sensitive to those kinds of things. And I hope that makes some sense to you, but just to be praying, Lord, how does this fit into other things that you're doing, and what do I need to be sensitive as I think about sharing that with that person or that group? How many of you would you say, I'm going to ask this every time now from now on tonight, but how many of you say in the prophetic you've made a mistake on the who part of a prophetic word? Go on, be honest. Only one? It's easy to do. it's easy to make a mistake. You get the right information from the Lord, and you might even get the right interpretation, but you tell it to the wrong person. So it's easy to do. And again, the grace of God is there. That's what's so wonderful about us growing and learning. But who is a big part of the deal? Who is the target for what you've revealed to me, if you want to say it that way? So questions or comments about who? Anybody? Yeah.
Just I'm a little confused on the who part. When what the line between a word of wisdom and, say, a prophecy, if it's a right, this is a good time to ask that question?
It could be both. I think a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge is a form of the prophetic. It's God speaking to you for his purposes. Word of wisdom, sometimes you're asking those same questions. Lord, you're revealing something to me, but do I need to reveal it to anybody else? So there is a parallel. Word of knowledge, I now know something about someone else or a situation that I couldn't have known in the natural. Lord, are you doing that just for me, or is that information important to share? So it's not a bad, that's not a bad analogy, Jeff, to be thinking. We're asking who in all of these, in both of those things, and in other spiritual gifts as well. So. Good. Yeah.
If you're on the receiving end of a prophetic word from someone and it, like, they have mistakenly come to you.
Yeah.
And you say, that doesn't resound with me as something. Like, first of all, how do you know it's not for you?
Yeah.
And second of all, how do you respond to that person?
Let me defer that. We're going to spend a whole night on that question. The whole last night of the class is on that. So let's be more detailed in that. But if you hear someone say that, as someone who brought it, go back to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, maybe I missed it. And Lord, is there somewhere that, you know, that I missed? And so go back to the Lord and sometime. But anyway, there's a whole night. But that's a good question. Anything else about the who? Yeah, this is a tough one.
I feel like when I was younger a few years ago, when I wasn't very skilled in tact and being softer with people, like, say, Wes, for example, I gave kind of like some, just blurted out some stuff in a almost like an angry attitude sort of way. Like,
right.
And he was probably scaring me for like a year or something like that. But then now, like, when I go to, say, BJ's Connect Group, I just start learning to be more graceful. It's a little easier to take. And he's not scared of me. I'm just learning this kind of thing I'm talking about.
So much of the prophetic is in 1 Corinthians 12. So much of the prophetic instruction is in 1 Corinthians 14. Mm-hmm. What's between the two?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 13. So this whole thing has to be bathed in love. Good. So let's go on. So we talked a little bit about the what question and the who question. Here's another one that's real important. I'm sorry, we talk about why and who. What? So what are we doing here? Is there a direction or is there a correction in the message? So we talked about back in the very beginning, edification and encouragement is always something we know that we proceed with. But sometimes we can get words which are directional words, like someone who's shared with you, you know, I'm praying about a job change, and the Lord might show you something that might affect the direction of that, or a correction. Sometimes God will show you sin in people's lives or blind spots in people's lives or things that are warnings in people's lives. We really want to be very sensitive and very careful about that. Doesn't mean that that's not an important part of the prophetic, but we're in realms when there's correction and direction, we really want to be sensitive to the Lord, because you can hurt people, you can get people off track if you're not really listening to the Lord in them. This is where it's a really wise time to bring in maybe another person who's more experienced in the prophetic and just say, hey, will you help me? I don't want to misstep on this because this is a pretty weighty kind of a word. So what do I reveal? Do I reveal all the information that God has shown me or just a part of it? Just because God's shown you a whole bunch of stuff doesn't necessarily mean that you need to communicate all of it. It could be that a portion of that is what God has asked you to be able to share with someone. So this week I received a number of prophetic words which were just hugely helpful. But one of the people said, here's the step one. Here's what God has shown me. I don't feel like I should tell you what I think it might mean. It's good for you just to process that. So they didn't tell me everything they saw. I thought about it for a day or a portion of a day or a period of time, and I went back and talked to them, and there's some other things. So be sensitive to the fact that just because God shows you a lot of stuff the initial sort of learning as maybe a person who's just maturing is you want to say everything. You don't have to say everything. Again, ask the Lord, how much of this is for now? And maybe there's something for later. Maybe there's something for a month later. They process that, or they hear from the Lord, or they see that coming, and then there's another piece you bring in. So I'm just trying to help you see the variety of how God works. Do I stop at the revelation, or do I continue to the interpretation? You know, that's great. You know, and I think there's a great value, and I really appreciate this person who's a mature person. I know them well. We have a good relationship. They just stopped at the revelation, and I just chewed on that for a while. And then we talked a little bit more about the interpretation later. So just because God shows you things doesn't need to reveal everything. So the what. How many of you have made a mistake in what in your prophetic ministries? Yeah, for sure. It's part of the growing process. Comments or questions about what? Jeff, yeah.
You mentioned about going to talk to somebody who's maybe more mature and prophetic than you.
Yeah.
So in that instance, would you share everything that you saw with that person? Like, what's the better way to?
Let me come back to because we're going to get to that. That's touches on one, and that touches a little bit on where. So, remind me. Okay. Yeah.
I just want to comment.
Sure.
I made the mistake of talking to a female with my wife present about something.
Yeah.
And she didn't receive it very well.
Yeah.
But to have the gender of the person, that you're, if you're talking to a female, to have a female present with you, at least, and the reverse is also true, I believe. If it's a female thinking of going to a male, she should have a male person.
That's so wise. It's just wisdom. Yeah.
But it's just because the two genders interpret things so very, very different.
Yeah, I would even say, you know, in ministry time, we encourage all of our leadership team, don't pray with just one man and one woman. You know, it's just stuff gets messed up. Bring along another woman, you know, or bring along another man, because you're just setting yourself for some hassles. So that's a good. Let's keep going. Let's talk about how, because this talks about method. Okay, Lord, how am I to reveal this? Okay. So am I the one who's supposed to bring this message, or is there somebody else who's supposed to bring that message? Now, that may never have occurred to you, but this is a really mature way to think about it, because it could be that God is bringing someone else. God's shown you the revelation and maybe even given the interpretation, but you're not the one who's supposed to bring it. So be listening to God. And it's a fair question to say, Lord, how am I the one who's supposed to bring this, or is someone else supposed to bring it? By the way, that's a great sign of maturity when God shows you that and you're willing to do that and not get the credit. It shows your ego's out of the way, which we're going to talk more about next week. But am I the one who's supposed to bring it? Am I supposed to speak this thing? Is it a spoken thing? Like I talk to you and we sit down together face to face and I just say what it is? You know, is it supposed to be written down? That's a great way to communicate the prophetic, is to take the time to write it down. Should I record it? One of the prophetic words that I had this week is I got a call fairly early in the morning, which as a school bus driver is not early for me, but they were like, okay, I'm going to call you back, but don't answer the phone because I want to just leave a message on your phone. Mm-hmm. And that was great because that person recorded the message they felt that God had for me. And then I was able to sit down and listen to it throughout the week. And Dean and I sat down and listened to it, and there's inflection and there's tone and a lot more information that comes. So, you know, in this wonderful age we're living in, now think about using recording more. You know, almost all our cell phones have some sort of, you know, data voice recording thing. Maybe we should start to use that more. Sometimes in ministry context, when we sense that there's someone going to bring a prophetic word, one of us will just grab our phone and just flick it on, because it, in the moment, it can pass quickly because there's emotions, God's doing things, particularly when it's something that you feel like, wow, this is the weight of the Lord. You can miss that. And it's great just to record that and let that person be able to listen back through that and process it over time. I have written things that have been given to me, and I can come back a year later, 10 years later, and reread through those things and be reminded. So the how, what is the method of how I'm supposed to communicate this? You know, if the Lord's saying, yeah, giving you the green light, you need to talk to this person or whatever, how do I do that? How many of you have made a mistake in the how? Yeah, right thing, wrong way. It's kind of right. Certainly, yeah, well, we'll get to time. That's a big one too, but how? So the method, questions or comments about that? There is a difference about a spoken word live, a recorded live, a written word. I just to tell you perspective from sort of leadership, if you have words for leadership, there is a great value in writing them down, particularly if it's like the whole eldership needs to process through that. When it's written, we can hand it out, we can read it together, we can think about it, we can pray into it together. There's a precision in that that allows us to deal with it in the way that it should be dealt with, which is seriously, right? So don't despise writing things down too. Questions or comments about the how, the method? Okay, let's keep going. Where? So this has to do with place. So where, Lord, am I to communicate this? So should it be privately, just one person to another? This is in a very different context, but I think there's something to learn here. Look at Matthew 18. This is when you're offended by a brother or sister. The first thing you should do is call someone and put it on the prayer chain. No, that's not true. That's Christian code for gossip. I'm sorry if you love prayer chains, but be careful about that. So if you've been offended by someone, rather than telling 15 people that you've been offended and bring your case, the scripture is really clear in Matthew 18, I'm in verse 15. If a brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. So this is something that's very hard for us to do as Christians. Most of us are conflict avoiders. We don't like to get in that situation where we have to talk about stuff that's difficult. So it's easier to talk about that to everybody else except for the person that is involved. So this is in the context of someone sinning against you or having to work through someone. But the scripture is clear. Start with that person. So it could be that the Lord is showing you that this would best be done privately, particularly if it's something that might be embarrassing or might undo the person. You know, it might be quite revelatory and it might be uncomfortable for the person to hear. It's wise, if the Lord is showing you that, to do that with that person privately. Because then you're not confusing things and making things more difficult for them to hear. What we're saying is, Lord, what's the very best way that I can communicate this message so it'll be heard and received in the way that you want it to do? And it could be that's privately. Again, caution about male and female stuff. That would be the one thing I'd say to be careful about. Be sensitive to that. You know, there is an intimacy that comes in the prophetic word sometimes that can be misunderstood as a different kind of intimacy, male to female and cross relationships. So we just want to be wise about that. So that might be a time where even though you wouldn't mind saying it privately, you would bring along another person, and maybe someone else who could just be there with you and just help make that so it doesn't get confused. So the intimacy of the spiritual moment doesn't get misconstrued as some other kind of intimacy or an attempt at some other kind of intimacy. So it could be that it's very privately. I'm a little bit all over the boards tonight, but I want you to be careful about, there are some people that go to the other extreme where they always want to have a private word with somebody. I call this parking lot prophecy, you know, and it makes me very nervous as an elder in a church. There's somebody that has kind of a secretive vibe to them that, you know, I have a message for you, but it's only for you, and I don't want anyone else to know about it, and, you know, let's come out to the parking lot, and, you know, and so if you're getting that vibe from someone, that's one of the things we'll talk about that's a danger signal to say that, like, it's just our secret, don't tell anyone else, you know. But there is a place where we can privately bring a word to someone. Where? If it's a directional word, like we've talked about before, it's great to bring a trusted friend or a leader to confirm or help in that. So let's see if I can just make up a hypothetical one. You know, so you might have a correctional word. Maybe you saw a vision of a guy who's spending long periods of time looking at a computer screen at naked images. Okay, that's the vision. Okay, and you might say, well, I know what this is. This person's got a issue with pornography. I'm going to call them out and deal with it, you know. That could be very much a correctional kind of word. I would say just bring someone with you in that. And it could be you unload that to the person, and the guy says, oh, man, thank you so much. I'm an RCMP officer, and I'm in the sexual crimes unit, and I have to look at those screens all day long. Will you pray for me and give me the grace to do this job, which is so... I mean, do you see how different that outcome could be than if you missed that whole part in the correctional part? So it's just great sometimes to bring along a trusted friend. Not trying to build a case, but it's just something that brings a safety in that. It could be that it's in a small group setting. Some of you, Brian, you mentioned in a connect group. That's a great way to start to grow in the prophetic, in the safety of a connect group where you know people and there's a leader and the Lord is doing things in a group. That's a great way to start to learn the prophetic. And God might show you, hey, it's entirely appropriate to reveal that in the context of your connect group or your small group. Brilliant. It could be in the context of a worship service. This is where it gets scary. And many of you have had that burden. You know, you're in church and there's something going on. And you're sensing from the Lord and like, oh, Lord, please, anybody but me. You want to just run out the other direction. But there's something in your heart. And so we'll talk about next week what sort of protocol, at least in our church, how do we do that for your safety, for what God's doing in the meeting, for how the covering of leadership, we're going to talk about that. But it could be that it comes in the context of a worship service too. So where is really important. The context for how I do this also matters. And again, our heart in all this is to say, Lord, I want to do this in a way that gets me out of the equation, gets the distractions out of the equations, and allows the best opportunity for this person to hear your heart in this matter. That's where our heart is on it. So, how many have made a mistake on where? Right thing, wrong place. Yeah. Where is easy to mistake on? Questions about that or comments about where? Jeff, you get it. I love it, man. Bro, go.
On the flip side, what about when you experience that, but then you don't do anything with it? Like, can that not kind of be
sure
the opposing side of that?
Yeah. Well, so, let's talk about it. Let's go. It's time. That's a timing question, too. Let's go into timing because it relates to that, and we'll talk. And there was another part I wanted you to come back to. But so the last one is when. So when do I need to reveal this? That's also takes wisdom and in hearing from the Lord and praying into it. You know, there's sometimes a time sensitive component to a prophetic word. So there's an urgency in your heart that you think it actually matters right now. It matters in this worship service in. Right after that song, those kinds of things. And that's where you grow in terms of that sensitivity. I received a prophetic word this week, which was within 15 minutes, I would say, that's pretty accurate, of something that I really, really needed to hear from the Lord. So that person was very mature in saying, you know what, I can't put this off. I might have a busy day, but I need to deliver this right now because the Lord was saying it's time sensitive. There are other prophetic words that aren't time sensitive. There's no rush. You know, the Lord kind of reveals to you, hey, you know, this needs to mature, this needs to cook, this needs to, you know, marinate, and then I will show you when that is. But timing does matter. Pick a time where the person can receive it. So again, you have this burden and you're excited and you think this is the time, but be thinking, what about the other person? I'll give you a classic example. So many people will come up to a preacher on Sunday morning 5 minutes before you're about to unload your sermon, and they have this big prophetic word, right? And man, I tell you, all you can think about is, I got to get this preach in my notes, and you know, and you're going, oh, yeah, okay, great. And they're unloading this whole big thing from the Lord. I'm telling you, you pretty much wasted that prophetic word in that situation because that person cannot hear you in that moment. So anybody who's a leader in church on Sunday, I would be really, really careful about trying to bring a prophetic word to that person, because a good shepherd, who all of our eldership team and our deacons as well, they're looking around. There's 400 people. I've been praying for that person. They haven't been here for a month. That person just lost their mom in a car accident. You know, so their mind and their radar are all over the boards as a shepherd. It's not a great time to bring a prophetic word to them. I'm not saying God might not have a prophetic word for that moment, but just be sensitive to the time. And again, it's not when it's convenient for you, but when is the best time that I could bring this so that person could hear it and receive it as what it is, something that the Lord has, a treasure that the Lord has given you for them. Okay? How many have made a mistake on timing? Yeah, this is really easy to do. Questions or comments about timing?
I think I can share quite recently where I felt like I got such a clear word for someone, and I knew they were in a very vulnerable place. So I had this, but I knew it was me, urgency to share it with them. So I was like, okay, God, if I get to see them, because I saw they left the church, if I get to see them, then do I assume that it's your timing?
Sure.
And when I started telling her, I was like, oh, I just know this was the right.
Yeah.
It just, you know, she was in a rush. She'd gone because she needed to go and pick up kids. And and I just, so I still do believe in God that it was His word for her. But the timing was so bad. It was just so quick. But it was mercy heart leading instead of letting God lead.
Yeah, and that's where we have to learn the difference between that burden we feel, that passion we feel, the excitement, the, you know, the weightiness of the thing, but just to say, Lord, is this the right time? Because you can squander it, if that's the way to say it. You know, now God is above all this, okay? But just be sensitive to timing.
God will tell you very clearly if it's not the right time.
If
you do that, check.
Yeah, if you're listening, just stop and wait. Now, Jeff, you brought up a good point. What do I do about, I think I understood your question, I have this thing, but I didn't say it, or I was disobedient, or whatever. I hear that a lot in church as a leader. You know, we'll be on a topic, and somebody will come up and bring a prophetic word, and then after the service, somebody will come up with me like this, oh, man, I totally knew exactly that that was the thing, and I was supposed to say it, and I'm sorry, you know. I don't ever say anything except, how cool is that God's doing something in your life? And God brought another person to bring that very important message because it was so important, even though you weren't sure. But grow in that and know that, you know, that was a God's showing you a confirmation, you know. So it's all right to goof up on all of this. I guess what I want to say is mistakes are okay. They're part of the growing process. If we set up some kind of culture that if you make the first mistake, you're out of the deal and you're off the team and all that kind of stuff, we will never see the prophetic grow in the way that we need to be. All the spiritual gifts are that way. I don't care. You should hear people's first preaches. You know, I've taught preaching. Yikes. You know, you should hear people's first attempts at whatever it is. We grow, and that's the safety of a church where we can say we can help, and leadership comes in and protects you from not hurting someone, hopefully, and hurting yourself. But we grow in those kinds of things. And, you know, we had a great illustration in tongues and interpretation of tongues. Came up, I don't know, a month ago, there was a person that gave, if you were there in that service, remember, I was leading. I was like, oh, great. But you know, a person gave a beautiful public speaking of tongues, what I interpreted or saw as the spiritual gift of the public speaking in tongues. And then it was like, okay, is there an interpretation? It was just kind of that awkward moment. I wasn't on my best A game that morning anyway, and I kind of missed it. But the Lord brought something, I think it was very good, from that person, because that sometimes can be an interpretation too. But afterwards, again, somebody came up, oh, Mark, you know, what is this? Because I knew exactly what that meant. I could tell you word for word what that was. And this is new for that person. I said, well, hey, how cool is that? That's probably the spiritual gift of interpreting tongues. So next time that happens, come up to the person who's leading the service and say, I think I know what that means. You know, so it's okay that you goofed it up. We're learning in this. Yeah.
So that doesn't then get shared?
Well, it was a couple weeks later. Actually, it was 2 weeks later. I got an email from that person and I talked with them and said, hey, wonderful, you know. And I wanted to say, well, I sure would have liked to have known that as the guy who was trying to lead the meeting right then, but I didn't do that, you know. So all I want to say is this is a growing process for all of us. Let's have grace for each other, and let's ask God for his protection in the incubation period. Right? You know, kids that are learning to walk, there's scrapes and bangs on the coffee table. Kids learn to ride their bikes. We all have things on our knees we can still see 40 years later, right? Learning to drive the car, you know, you bend the car sometimes when you're learning. So we're all going to do that. But I want you to know that I would trade that as a leader in a church for a completely sterile graveyard where nothing is happening. It's way, way better. Yeah.
You get a word and you bring it to, let's say, Mike, and Mike says it's not the time. Totally, you can be humbled and nothing hard against Mike. But if you go home and you're praying over it and it still feels very important, what would you do then?
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week. I would write that down and submit it. Like I said, this is a tough group to teach because you're all prophetic and you're always one page ahead of my notes. So I'm just laughing as we're growing together. So let me go on to that very next thing in my notes. Okay, here's another job hazard for the prophetic. I've talked about a few job hazards to be aware of in the prophetic ministry, and you guys that have walked in this know this. Mentioned before, isolation, that is a job hazard for prophetic people. You can isolate yourself because of the unique nature of hearing from God and spending time with God. Be careful about isolating yourself away from the body of Christ. Rejection is another job hazard of the prophetic. It can feel very like you're the only salmon swimming one direction, and you know, as we grow in prophetic, and it's easy to be rejected in the prophetic ministry, so be aware of that. Let me give you another job hazard. What happens when no one does anything about what you've communicated. This is a huge, huge deal. So you have a super great vision from God that will fix everything. It will save the world. It's a burning passion. You know this is totally from God. And you go up and you share with the leadership, and their response is, oh, that's nice. And they don't do anything about it, especially if it's a very directive word, like we need to do this and this and this. And that person or that group goes, oh, that's so cute, you know, thank you for, and then nothing happens. That's kind of what you're asking in a different way. What happens in the prophetic when people don't do what you said? They don't follow your instructions. They don't receive the prophetic message. They don't heed the warning. They don't respond to the direction. They, you know what I'm saying? What do you do with that as a prophetic person? This is a huge job hazard for the prophetic. And I know so many people that have lost their way in the prophetic because they have gotten all tangled up in the fact that these, I had this thing, I know it was from God, I know the interpretation was right, I know I gave it in the right way, and they didn't do anything about it. And that can be very frustrating. So we want to talk a little bit about that as we finish up tonight. But one of the things that I think is helpful is this idea in the Old Testament of the watchman on the wall. And you might have heard of this and been familiar with this in the Old Testament. In the ancient times, one of the greatest protections defensively, militarily, was to have a city with a walled city. So we know that, you know, in prehistoric times, this wall was huge. And a major part of that was the gates, you know, the opening of the gates. So in many of these ancient societies, and we see it in the Old Testament in a number of places, and we'll look at them in a minute, there was a role of a watchman. It was a person who was up on the walls day and night, who had good human vision, but who was completely trustworthy, you know, would say what's taking place, and they would communicate, I see an army coming, I see this danger coming, I see this happening, or I see this good thing coming, you know, our troops are returning or whatever, and that person would communicate to the powers to be that information, and then the elders at the gate or the king or the person in charge of the gate would decide to open the gate or not open the gate on the basis, they would process that information. So the watchman had a role to make a call, but they were only advisors. They didn't have any power to do anything. They couldn't open the gate themselves. And this is where the frustration comes in the watchman role. So let's look at a couple of those. Ezekiel, this comes up twice at least with Ezekiel, but look at Ezekiel chapter 3. I hope we're going to hope this makes sense. We're coming around at it, so hang on. But Ephesians 3:16, this is early in the ministry of Ezekiel. This is part of Ezekiel's call. Verse 16, and at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. It's a pretty hectic call. That's a pretty significant call. Whatever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give it warning. You shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give them no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked ways, in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity. But his blood I require of your hand. It's pretty hectic, you know. But if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die for his iniquity, but you shall be delivered. I will have delivered your soul. Again, if a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you have not warned him, he shall die for his sin. His righteous deeds that he have done will not be remembered. But his blood I will require from your hand. But if you warn the righteous person not to sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live. Because he took that warning, and you have delivered your soul. So the watchman's job was only to see clearly and communicate clearly to the powers that be. And then the job was over. If the person didn't do that, and for instance, a foreign army was coming, and you know, you can see the whole city could be lost because of that. So it was a very weighty kind of a role. But it was a strange role because they only could communicate and they didn't have authority to do anything with the message. Their job was only to communicate the message faithfully to the people that needed to hear it, and then they had to let it go. Look, it comes up later in Ezekiel's life again, 33. Look at 33, 2 to 4. That was sort of his initial calling, but this concept comes out later. Son of man, speak to your people and say, by the way, what was Jesus' favorite term for himself when they asked who he was? Yeah, this is where it comes from. All these, this is just a, such a wonderful connection between Ezekiel's ministry and Jesus' ministry. But, Son of Man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring a sword in the land and the people of the land take a man from among them and make them their watchman, and if he sees the sword coming on the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take the warning and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take warning. His blood shall be on himself. But if he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, they're negligent in their role. So the people are not warned and the sword comes and takes one of them. This person has been taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I shall require of the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them the warning from me. So you see where I'm going in this concept of the watchman. It's a picture, I think, a good picture of us with the prophetic ministry. There is a very strong connection between the watchman ministry in the Old Testament and the prophetic ministry in the New Testament. God is showing you things about what's taking place in a person's life or in a church's life or in a city's life or sometimes even in a country's life. And so you have the responsibility under God to work through these three stages of the process and deliver that message carefully. But here's the rub. You don't have authority, usually, to do anything about it. And that's what's so maddening about the prophetic. If I can just really be honest, you have to deliver that message carefully, but you are usually not the one to implement that action. And that can be really, really frustrating.
So then, if, say, I'm growing in this, and God gives me an impression that someone might be having an adulterous affair or something right. like that, and I am doubtful or scared of getting involved, whatever, I let my flesh, my doubts get in the way, I don't do anything about it, that thing blows up, is that blood on my hands?
No, like we're not, that? I don't mean to, we have to make a connection between the Old Testament yeah. and where we're in the New Testament, but if you go to that person and say, you know, and you've worked through this process in prayerfully, and you say, you know, I'm just having this sense that there's something wrong with going on. And is there any relationships that are out of whack between you and someone else that are not honoring God?
Yeah.
And that person goes, jokes. Oh, yeah, you don't know. I mean, you know, it's none of your business, right? And they don't receive that. You've done your job. You've taken the initiative to speak that word to the Lord. But what they do with that, you can't make them sort that thing out, okay?
Yeah.
Now, many times what's so amazing about the prophetic, that person goes, seriously, no one could have known this.
Yeah.
How could you know that? And their heart is broken, and they'll come before God and say, Lord, I want to be able to get this thing right. And so God breaks that open with a prophetic in a way that supernaturally nothing else could have done. Even a full-on confrontation, you know, it just breaks that thing loose. So your job is to communicate that well. Let me let you... Oh, go ahead.
I just wanted to know yeah. if I didn't do that, then do I just repent and then,
yeah.
then I'm free from any guilt or burden from that?
We're free from... There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, okay? We're
yeah.
all learning in this thing. And so sometimes we get it right and sometimes we don't. And we learn from that. But there's a grace in that. You know, if we screw it up, we can trust God to bring someone else to bring that message. And this is what's so great about God. His purposes are not dependent on us, but it's a learning opportunity. Let me just give you another piece of this thing out of our Joiner book, which I think was good. He says, this is the watchman role. These were the ones who were trained to recognize both enemy and their brethren from a great distance. However, they had no authority to confront either. They simply gave the information to the elders who sat at the gates. Only the elders had the authority to either command the gates be opened or to sound the alarm. One of the things that's important is, I think, in the watchman ministry, in our prophetic ministry, it's not always the negative that we're seeing. And I think this is another kind of a trap that we can get stuck into. We get this identity that we're the watchman for this particular church, you know, and everything we see is negative and bad and, you know, harmful. And, you know, pretty soon, you know, the leaders of the church, they see you making a beeline for them. They're like, oh, please, not again, you know. So it's always a negative thing. The thing about the watchman is they also saw good things. They saw opportunities. They saw people. And it's neat. The specifics of a watchman, I was just reading in my daily reading. And one of the watchmen on the wall, somewhere, I think it's in one of the Kings, he's like, oh, that looks like, and he names the guy just by the way he's running. from the distance. I think it was Amaziah or somebody. I mean, that's what's so neat about that. That watchman was so good and so attentive that from a distance, when nobody else could even see it, I think that's that guy, you know. So they're bringing information that's not only negative information, but also positive information, opportunities that are taking place around them. So be careful about the watchman ministry, that you don't get all into a negative, dark place all the time, and it's always about the negative. God also shows you good things in the prophetic too, not just negative things. So we've got to be careful not to get stuck in an identity, a critical identity, and get trapped in that, because the enemy can waylay us real quickly in that too. And then, you know, we're missing the things that are the blessing of God. I think there's a parallel in discernings of spirits, which is a spiritual gift. Many times people with discernings of spirits see demonic things in much more concrete and real ways than the rest of us do. But they also see angelic in ways that the rest of us don't do. So I always encourage people, particularly when they start into discernings of spirits and they first realize that all they see is negative stuff and they're all bummed out. I'm like, well, just wait. God's also going to show you angelic things too that maybe the rest of us don't see. So it's you're seeing both sides. And I think that's true in the prophetic ministry. But be careful about an identity that says, I'm the watchman of the wall. I'm going to make sure that nothing bad ever, you know what I mean? That's not our identity. All this comes from God. So we have to be careful not to get sucked into that.
Do the elders bring corrections to other elders? I guess elders make mistakes just like everyone else.
Yeah. So, your dad's one.
Yeah, just like wrap my head around the prerequisites that you need to be an elder is one of the things is someone is going to bring a word to you, and that is your responsibility to determine whether or not.
That's a heavy responsibility.
And I'm saying, how do you make sure everybody has that? And I guess it's just something you guys all check
well,
for.
Well, and we'll talk about this more next week because I hope Mike's going to. This is the very thing I want to talk about, the relationship between the people who have the governmental authority in a body. In our situation, we see elders as the highest authority in the local church, and the prophetic. How do the two of those relate together? But it's a great weight when, you know, as an eldership team, when we get a word, you know, Scripture says don't despise prophecies. Well, one of the ways that are the most common ways to despise prophecy is you go, oh, that's interesting, and put it in a pile, and you're not hearing from the Lord. You're not putting together pieces as a team. There may be four or five things that seem unrelated, but if as you're praying, God's showing you, now, wait a minute, here's the trend that's taking place. It's of great, great weight. But what I'm trying to help you see in this moment is that the prophetic usually doesn't have a responsibility to implement that. And you have got to learn to let that go, or you'll be crushed in the prophetic ministry. I'm speaking really strongly here, but I want you to hear my heart, because I have seen people ruined with genuine prophetic ministries, but they get so sidetracked because people just don't do what they're supposed to do. You know, I'll take a couple questions and I'll finish.
There's a bit I've been thinking about watchmen, and they're really useful in these modern days because there's a lot of crazy stuff happening in the world. I was watching a YouTube video. Lauren Daigle is a kind of a famous, wonderful Christian singer. And she's getting really big also in the mainstream world. And she's at this awards ceremony where a lot of secular rappers and darker music was also being given awards to. And she was one of the people giving an award to a more like sinful rapper that just has a lot of crude lyrics that are very sexual.
Yeah.
The watchman in this video was saying, shame on her, she's like a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
Or being... they're giving an award to this person. Yeah.
And I say shame on him unless he's talked to her first.
Exactly.
That's my principle. That person should be communicating to them, and I can't judge that person. You know what I'm saying? But that's the principle. Go to the person.
Yes.
But that is a watchman role for sure. When things are getting out of balance and out of round, you're helping people to see that. Jeff?
Mark, I just want to say I feel real freedom with what you just said there, that it's not the job of the prophetic to go implement all that and the weight that...
Yeah,
we're just discussing. I mean, it actually takes a lot off of
it
us.
Should.
Yeah.
Should.
Right? To just say, hey, this is what we're supposed to do. And then that's, we can kind of stop at that point and not feel.
Let me finish with this. Think about the postal carrier, you know, the mail person who brings the mail. You know, wonderful, dark of rain, sleet of night. You know, I know that half of us don't get any mail anymore, but think back in the day, right? Every day they would come, Monday to Friday, put that stuff in your box faithfully. You know, try to hijack me. No, I'll die. You know, this is a precious thing that I do. I'm bringing the mail. It's a sacred role, right? So we get that, and we appreciate that delivery role and the faithfulness of at least what used to be the Canadian Postal Service. But how would you like it if 2 days later, the postman knocked on your door and said, now, I did bring you the power bill a couple days ago, but have you paid that power bill? Because I'm concerned that you might be getting behind on your payments for the power bill. Now, would that be as great? That's creepy, right? Why is that creepy? That's not their responsibility. Their responsibility is to deliver the goods on time and safely and not to implement whatever is in that letter. Matter of fact, it's not even any of their business what's in that letter, right? Mm-hmm. So you see the picture that I'm trying to help us to see in the prophetic is you are a message carrier, and your job is to bring that accurately, sensitively from the Lord as to the best of your ability. But many times that response is outside of your sphere of authority. And you really don't have anything to do about implementing. You can pray for that person. You can encourage that person. But you're not going to be able to make that happen. And if you do, you're going to drive yourself crazy.
Just a comment. Taking a negative, use the term a negative prophecy sort of thing.
Or correction. Or correction. Yeah, right.
Jesus always will seek to convict the adulterous person or whatever, with the intention of drawing the person out of what they're getting into.
That's right.
Jesus will always draw the person back to righteousness.
That's right.
We know that Nathan spoke to King David and told him, you're the man.
You are the man, that's right.
So it's always to draw them back to Jesus.
That's right.
And if you choose to ignore, you'll pay the consequences.
Yeah, that's right. And so the devil brings condemnation. Yeah. Condemnation is a gray cloud. You're a loser. You can't ever go anywhere. You know, it's all lost. You might as well just kill yourself. Right? That's the devil's words. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. This thing that you're doing is not helping you, and it's disconnecting you from God's purpose for your life. Come back and let's deal with that and straighten that out. You see the difference between the two? And the true prophetic, and this is what's challenging, and it's another job hazard maybe, is you see stuff about people that is concerning. But our heart has to be the heart of the Father in that I'm not just I'm not just reading your mail because it feels good and because I can. That's what most people who don't know the prophetic, you know, when we have a prophetic person come, they don't want to go to those meetings. They're like, oh, I'm not going to that meeting. If that dude can read my mail, you know, like he's going to call me out. You know, I looked at that website, you know, he's going to say it in front of the whole church. That's a misunderstanding of the godly prophetic. It's always for the heart of God, which is always for restoration. And the only way we can get that and keep that is just by spending time with God and hearing His heart and knowing His heart. And we talked about sometimes the reason God gives us things not just in text is because He wants our heart to break in the way that His heart is breaking in that situation. So we're not only communicating the information, but we're communicating the broken heart and the call, you know, the call to repentance, right? This is what's so great about the prophetic. It comes with, it's not just a sentence, but it comes with a passion and a heart. And when you're sensitive to God, you're communicating that as well, that desire for restoration. So I just want to finish with that issue of just think about this issue of the mail carrier. And when you're frustrated about the fact that something's not getting done, pray into that. God still may have a role for you in that. But if it's outside of your sphere of authority, you have to let that go. And you have to celebrate the fact to say, Lord, you know what? Thank you. I believe that I did my job well here. I did my calling well. And there's pleasure in that of you, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I release this outcome, which I can't have anything over to you, Jesus, and to the people that are responsible for it. That's such a healthy place to be in the prophetic. That sets you up for long-term ministry, I think, in the prophetic. And it's a very safe way to go. So let's pray, and then we're just going to do some ministry time for those that can stay. Lord, what an amazing ministry this is, that you communicate not only information, but the passion of your heart. Yeah, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And I just pray for great sensitivity for this group in that third piece of what do I do with this stuff now, Lord. Now, Lord, would you just be gently revealing to us in the things you're giving us, here's what I'd like you to do. Here's the time I'd like you to do it. Here's the person. Here's the environment that they'll be able to receive it from me. And God, you're such a good God. You custom make all six of those things. And you just do it because you're God. And so, Lord, I pray for a greater sensitivity for us all in processing these things that you're giving us, Lord, that we would be delivering them faithfully, delivering them securely, delivering them in ways that honor you, that can be received in the greatest impact on the other end. Thank you, Lord. Amen.